Good morning and welcome to Local Business Focus. I'm Sally Barker. Joining us on the show today is Greg Comans from SAFCOM Risk Management, proud station sponsor. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Sally.
Now, today we're talking everything legal compliance for the business owner.
That's right. The important thing to understand is that there's lots of acts and regulations, probably over, I think, 650 or separate acts and regulations in Western Australia alone. So it's really important for organisations to know what their legal compliance is and how it relates to their business. Obviously, it's really important for an organisation to identify what their legal compliance are and what the risks are that are involved in that.
So what is the main area of compliance that is overlooked?
Well, I specialise really more so in the occupational health and safety aspect, so really the OH&S regulations. A lot of that now is just understanding what their general duty of care is when running a business, and that's the fundamental aspect of it. And there's one section of the Act that basically says that a employer has a duty to provide safe systems of work, adequate training and adequate supervision in undertaking any activity, and also providing a safe workplace. And that sounds quite simple, but then it goes on to obviously numerous things. What does that actually mean? So safe systems of work, you would be talking about things like processes, policies, procedures, management plans on how you communicate with your employees, what they need to do in a safe manner, and what you as an organisation would expect them to do. So it's not prescriptive on what those actually look like. It's just the ability for an organisation to demonstrate that they do have safe systems of work in place that can adequately protect their employees. And the other component to that, obviously, is the training component. You need to demonstrate that you've actually trained people in those processes, procedures, policies, all of those things. So you need to identify what training you're going to give people, whether it's appropriate, given the level of risk in the industry that they're working in. When you're talking about risk within industries, there's a lot of high-risk activities out there, and there's designated high-risk activities. I think there's about 19 in the occupational health and safety regulations that talk about what high-risk activities. And a few of those include things like working with mobile plant or excavations or working at heights and confined space, those general ones. So it's very prescriptive there on what they need to do. Mm. So it's applying training, adequate training, internally as an organisation to determine what you need to do. And then the hard one is providing adequate supervision. What does that actually mean? And that's a really important one. If someone is unfortunate enough to have a serious workplace injury, where WorkSafe come in, or God forbid a fatality or something like that, through that process, through the courts, you need to be able to demonstrate that you do have safe systems of work, that you have provided adequate training, and then supervision. And the supervision's a difficult one, because what actually does that mean? Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very grey area, and of course, what a court would be trying to determine is, have you done everything in your power to provide those safe systems, training and supervision? And why supervision's a grey area is that how much supervision do you need to do it? And you just need to determine within your own organisation what you think is safe as practicable. So it's something you really need to have a look at, and all organisations do that, need to provide that type of supervision.
Now, these policies and training, do they need to be developed from scratch, or is there somewhere business owners can go to copy?
Well, generally, policies are the overriding document that you have. Your policy statement is how you're going to manage particular things. Whether it's in occupational health and safety, workers' compensation, environmental issues, quality issues, even commercial issues. All companies have policy statements on how they do that. So it's important that when you do that, you do have some standard things that you need to do, and quite often you'll look at legislation or international standards of what those things are that you need to look at. So generally when you look at a policy statement from one company to the next, they look very similar. You just need to make sure with those things that you don't overdo it by saying that you're going to do things that you really don't do. It might seem good on paper, but once you put it in a policy statement, you're actually saying that this is how we're going to manage something. Mm-hmm. And obviously then you need procedures to back up how you're going to implement that dot point on a policy. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, you can go and look around and just search for what a policy statement is and just make amendments to it. We always just try and look at an organisation of what they're doing and what they're trying to do, and generally they're pretty much the same sort of thing.
Now, if someone is a little bit overwhelmed, who would they look for? Risk management companies to come in and do it all for them? What could you do as a small business owner?
As a small business owner, I think it's really important to engage somebody that can help you out at the start to really identify what your legal compliance are and what the risks are. So that's the first step. And I think a trap that some people get into is that they will engage somebody, a consultancy firm or something like that, and they will give them a suite of documents, charge them a bundle for it, and say you're on your own. And
right.
The implementation then is very difficult.
Yeah.
So it's really important to work with small business owners to say you need to manage this yourself and put in systems that will help them actually self-manage, and obviously call on consultancy on a time-to-time basis that if they need help with a particular item or some information on something, you can help them. But a good consultancy firm will actually create systems to help the small business owner manage it themselves, and that's the important. They need to take ownership, and it's a similar thing with accounting and that type of thing, is that yes, they'll get people in to help manage that, and accountants will give advice, and they'll have maybe bookkeepers and things like that, but ultimately it's the responsibility of the business owner to actually be in control of that and manage it.
How important is the relationship between the consultant and the business owner?
It's critical. You've got to have a lot of trust in your consultant, and really from a personal perspective, that is one of the key elements, is to develop that trust. And we basically say that we form trusted partnerships with our clients so that they can feel free to call you, and they know that the advice that you're going to give is correct. Mm-hmm. and is relevant to their business.
So where is there a body where we can see if a consultant is above board, so we're not just getting a cowboy in?
Yeah, there's some organisations here. The Safety Institute of Australia is it's not so much as an official governing body, but it's certainly a good body that provides training and accreditation to occupational health and safety people. And there's a process in place with the Safety Institute of Australia at the moment to actually formalise training so that people do have relevant qualifications. So it's important to do that if they've got those sort of qualifications. If they've got official auditing qualifications, that's important too, because that means they've gone through a lot of training in the auditing process.
Mm.
And obviously just check people out, check references, see how they've gone in the past and what they've done with past clients. I think that's the key thing, is to developing, to find a trusted person, is to actually ask other small business owners who they're using and what sort of service they had.
Because non-compliance penalties are quite hefty.
They are, and they can cripple a business very quickly if they don't comply. Generally, that's the non-compliance where it's going to really hurt the business, if they've had a really substantial incident which is causing a lot of concern. But WorkSafe Australia conduct inspections of workplaces all the time. So they'll come in and they'll give improvement notices to companies where they need to upgrade certain parts, aspects of what they're doing within their business. So it's important if people get those type of improvement notices that they address them straight away. Generally you won't get a penalty up front unless it's a really serious one, but certainly the WorkSafe WA inspectors are really good at working with businesses to ensure that they're meeting their compliance. So they don't come in and hit people with hammers straight away. They work very well with business, and but if they do have an improvement notice, it's important that the business owner takes it seriously and actually does something about it, because if they don't, then it can escalate very quickly.
That's incredible advice. Thank you so much for joining us on Local Business Focus. Greg Comans from SAFCOM Risk Management, proud station sponsor.